We're doing the Avat Chesed. We're up to page Reish Yud in the standard editions, page Reish Ayin Tes in the Zelgman edition, and we were learning about Hachnasat Ochim, the importance of taking in guests. Amru Chazal, our sages taught, Gidola Legima, giving a guest to eat and drink is so important, Shemracheket Etakirubim, that the issue of taking care of guests can cause those who were hitherto close to God to be pushed away, Umkarev Tetarachokim, and could cause those who were so distant from God to be brought close. Umalemit einayim min arshayim. It causes the heavens to, so to speak, turn a blind eye on those who are wicked. Umashra shechina al nevei habaal. And it can even cause, it could bring about that a false prophet, a prophet who prophesizes in the name of the Baal, the pagan god the Baal, even he will get prophecy when he is busy doing Hachnasat Ochim, taking in guests. Veshigigata ola zadon. And if one, even in error, doesn't offer his guests to eat or drink, that can carry a very hefty weight, as though he purposely did it, as we will see in a minute. So now, the Gemara expands. Merachek tetakrovim. Where do we find that people who were close were pushed away because they did not offer food and drink? That's Me'amon u'Moav. We find the Ammonites and the Moabites. They were a natural adjunct to the Jewish people. They were our relatives. That shekrovim liYisrael, they were our relatives. Shebao milot ben achi Avraham, they were descendants of Lot, Avram's nephew. V'richakan amakom, and God says, keep him away from my people. Shlo yavou bakahal, we have a special mitzvah in the Torah. Don't let the Ammonites or Moabites marry into the Jewish people. Mishum shelo kidmu otam balechem uvamayim. Because they were not willing to offer us bread or water. Kedichtiv bakaz. The verse says that they made a boycott. They wouldn't sell us any goods when we needed it. We were traveling in the desert. We needed food and drink. And they boycotted us. So the Torah says, don't marry into them. Don't let them marry into the Jewish people. So here we have the first example. They were our relatives. The Ammonites and Moabites were really our cousins. And the Torah says they may not marry into the Jewish people. Doesn't say that about the Muslims. Doesn't say that about any other, most other nationalities. Ammonites and Moabites may not. Why? Because they had this bad trait that they wouldn't sell us food and water.
Who are the Ammonites?
Sorry? Yeah.
They changed that.
Right. Ammonites are the descendants of Ammon, who was the son of Lot when he lived with his daughters in the cave. They thought the whole world was destroyed.
So Moab and
Ammon and Moab were the two sons, and from them came the two nations, Ammon and Moab. Umkarevet et aruchokim, you have people who were distant from the Jewish people. They were brought close because they offered food and drink. We learn that from who? From Yisro, from Jethro. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan taught, Bishar kiren lo v'yochal lachem. Yisro tells his daughters, they come back from the well, they say, we met an Egyptian there. Yisro says, why don't you call him in? Let him eat some bread. So in the merit that he called a stranger in and offered him bread, Zachu b'nei v'nav l'shev l'shkat ha-gazit. Yisro merited that his grandsons sat on the highest court of Israel, the court on the Temple Mount called l'shkat ha-gazit, shne'emar, etc. The Talmud quotes a verse from that. U'malemit einayim min arshayim. One who takes in guests merits that God, so to speak, turns a blind eye, even if he's wicked. God doesn't take note to pay him with exacting justice. Mimicha, we have that story about Micha. Micha made an idol, and he would invite people to come serve his idol. And Rabbi Bar Mari taught, Shamati mipnei ma lo manu et Micha. Why, when we have the verse that says the Mishnah says there were four people, we have four kings and four regular citizens who will not merit the world to come. And then the question is, those four, their unique trait was that they caused other people to sin. So why isn't Micha mentioned there? He erected a statue and he pushed his idol worship to the point where a whole tribe ended up worshipping his idol. So why isn't his name there? Micha also caused a tremendous number of people to sin. Why doesn't he appear as one of the four who will not merit the world to come? Mipnei shepito mitzuya lovrei drachim. Because Micha always made his bread available to passerby. Micha was always taking in guests and offering them food. Shnemar, as the verse indicates over there, that his house was, he ran an open home. So the fact that he took in guests, that caused him to be protected. That even though other people of his level of wickedness do not merit the world to come, Micha's not in that list. Where do we find the prophets of the Baal? Can it get prophecy just because they offer food to strangers, as the verse says? We have a story, Vayim Yoshvim. We have a terrible story. You have the prophet Ido, who was sent by God to the northern 10 tribes to tell them that that their altar will be destroyed and the northern 10 tribes will be exiled and destroyed, and even the king's bones will burn over there by that altar. And the prophet Ido is told, don't stick around, don't eat there. Come, give your prophecy and leave. Do not return the way you came. That's the command God gave him. So the prophet Ido comes to the north, he comes to Beit El, and the king, Yeravam ben Nevat, is in the process of offering a sacrifice in honor of a pagan god. And Ido says, Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Mizbeach, Mizbeach, O altar, things are going to be so bad for these people of the north, and even the bones of man will burn here. And he's referring to the king himself who's offering sacrifices there. And the king, Yeravam ben Nevat, when he hears the prophecy, he extends his hand and says, grab him. And then his hand goes bad. He loses control over his hand. And he begs the prophet. He says, please pray on my behalf. I should be cured. And the prophet prays on his behalf and his hand is cured. And then the king tells him, okay, come eat with me. And Ido says, nope, God told me not to eat here and not to go back the way I came. So I will leave. And he continues traveling. There are two youngsters there. They come home and they tell their dad the story that happened. Now their dad was a false prophet for the idol of Baal. So their dad tells them, quick, saddle my donkey. So they saddle his donkey and he grabs food with him and he runs after Ido the prophet. And he catches up to him and says to him, I'm a prophet just like you. And God sent me to tell you to sit down and have a meal with me. So Ido thinks, okay, if God said so. He gets off his donkey. He sits down and eats with this man. And in the middle of the meal, this false prophet of the Baal gets a prophetic vision. And God actually does tell him, tell Ido, because he transgressed his own prophecy, that he will die a violent death because I told him not to eat here. So the very man who gave him the food suddenly gets up and tells him a prophetic vision. You're going to die a violent death because you ate over here and God told you not to. They finish the meal. Ido gets on his donkey. He continues riding. A lion comes and knocks him off his donkey and kills him and stands there next to his carcass and next to the donkey. So it's quite a sight. Ordinarily, a lion would eat the donkey or eat the carcass. No. Everyone who walked by would say, wow, look at what happened there. There's a dead man and a lion standing over him and a donkey standing next to the lion and the dead man. And they're all standing in one place. And when the false prophet heard it, so he said, ooh, that's the Ido, the prophet. He transgressed his own prophecy. That's why God killed him. And he went and picked up his body and had him buried. And he told his kids, bury me next to him because all his prophecies are going to come true. He told the truth. So our sages were bothered with the obvious question. Why did this false prophet merit to have prophecy? Our sages said, because he would give people free food, as he gave Ido the prophet. So our sages say, you see how important it is to offer food to a stranger, to a guest. Because you see, even a false prophet like this guy, we don't even know his name, even he got prophecy in the merit of doing that. So there are obvious questions. Wait a second, what he did was a sin. Okay, there are good questions, but that's not the point we're focused on right now. So back to the Chafetz Chaim. The Ido Navi nabe al mizbech betel she'echerav, mivnei she'emid bo yarva ma'agalim. He summarizes the story. Ido, the prophet, prophesied that the altar of Beit El would be destroyed because they were offering calves to idols. Uvan avi ha-sheker v'itao le'ido. The false prophet came and tricked him. Ve'shivo le'Beit El and told him, come back with me to Beit El. Ve'viro al-mitzvat ha-kadosh baruch hu. And he convinced him to transgress what God had said. Sh'amar lo lo tashuv le'Beit El. God had told him, do not return to Beit El. Ve'chilo. And then the prophet gave him to eat. And in the merit that he gave him to eat, the Shechina settled on him. The prophecy settled on him. V'shigigatau la'zadon, the final point, we said, if you don't offer someone to eat, so then that can carry a tremendous weight. Why? We learn that from David and Yonatan. David and Jonathan. David was on the run, and King Saul wanted him dead. So David makes up, he meets Yonatan, and he says, I'm telling you, your father wants me dead. And Yonatan says, no way, my dad would have told me, can't be. So David says, okay, I'm going to hide out in the field. You wait through tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, the next day's Rosh Chodesh, wait and see. I won't show to the meal, you'll see how upset your father is going to become. And that's exactly what happens. When David doesn't show up to the meal, Shaul says, he deserves to be killed, fetch him over here. How could it be he didn't show up to the meal? And Yonatan says, what did he do? He asked my permission, I let him go. And Shaul says, you rebellious son, you shame to your mother and shame to me. Well, what kind of prince are you? Don't you realize that he's a threat to your throne? And he stands up to beat Yonatan. And then Yonatan is all upset, and he comes out and he tells David what happened, and he sends David off. David was 2 days without food. Yonatan was upset at what happened. He didn't eat that day, but he didn't bring any food for David. Now what happens next is David's on the run, and he's famished. So he goes into the temple, he goes into Mishkan Shiloh, and he asks the Kohen, he says, I have, he lies, he says, I'm on the king's mission, I must have a sword, and I must have all the bread you have here. The Kohen says, I only have the holy bread, the face bread, the lechem apanim. David says, give it to me, believe me, this is so critical, I must have it. It was critical. He was about to die of hunger. He gives it to him. And then, when King Saul gets word of what happened, King Saul assumes that all the Kohanim must be in cahoots with David in the rebellion, and he has them all executed. Our sages say that Yonatan is held accountable, because Yonatan should have brought some food when he was seeing David off. You see your best friend off, you know he's on the run, you should have shown up with some food. So we all understand Yonatan's mistake. But nonetheless, that's an example our sages gave us of the importance of seeing off a guest with food. So, we'll just finish this idea. We have the following quote. If Jonathan would have lent David only two loaves of bread, if he would have accompanied him only two loaves of bread, then David wouldn't have had to ask the priest, the Kohanim of Nov, for bread, and it would have never gotten back to King Saul. What happened? The whole city wouldn't have been killed. And Doeg, who was the one who actually perpetrated the murder of Nov, doesn't merit any portion in the world to come. That wouldn't have happened to him either. And even King Saul and his three children, Yonatan included, they all died, our sages say, because of the murder of the city of the Kohanim. And that all started with Yonatan, because he didn't bring any bread. He didn't offer him any food. Okay, so now that's all the Gemara. From all of this we learn, how careful one has to be in this. A person shouldn't ignore that important mitzvah of taking in guests. And in this merit, God will save him from all the troubles of the world. So this is a very important mitzvah. In the next chapter, we will focus about how to treat guests, how you deal with guests. But in this chapter, we learned about the importance of taking in guests, and I want to conclude with an idea. Be'ezrat Hashem, all of you will be married, some sooner than others. We have a chatan here who's getting married in 1 week. So there's one thing which I tried to do when I had young guests from yeshiva, and now that you guys are all in yeshiva, you'll appreciate this idea. When yeshiva guys would come to our house, at the end of the meal, I'd try to make them a little package to take home with them, like to take back to yeshiva. In yeshiva, you don't get homemade food. You don't have fruits whenever you want. And when you run a house, so what's the difference if you pack a few pieces of kugel and the guy takes it back with him, or a few cookies or cakes, whatever. When you run a family, it's not such a big deal. But for the yeshiva guy who's at your home, it is a big deal. He comes back, he's taking a piece of the home with him. So Be'ezrat Hashem, when you guys run your own homes, do that. I could tell you there was a girl who lived out of town. She lived in a place where it was hard to get to, and it was rare that she'd get a date out there. And her dates, so she'd fly into New York to the to the centers where there were a lot of Jews, and she'd date the first few dates there, and then she'd expect the guy to come back and date her in her home territory. Now, whichever guy was coming to date her was coming to her home territory, right? Flying out, and then traveling back to the airport and flying back. So she was careful that whenever they'd leave her house to go back to the airport, she'd give him a little bag with a little bit of homemade cookies, something for the road. And it was a good idea, firstly, because it's a nice thing to do. That's what Chazal taught us here. You have a guest, you have someone who's traveling, give him something to go for the road with him. And it was a good idea, because it also convinced her husband to marry her. But it's the menshach, it's a nice thing to do. People are sometimes embarrassed to do it, but there's no reason to be embarrassed. Guests sometimes are happy. You'll see. Bezat Hashem, if you offer, you'll see people are happy to accept. And it makes your mitzvah all the greater because people take a piece of your home with them. And that warm feeling follows them when they leave.